Radio's Racing HQ.
Racing HQ.
Everything you need for a winning day.
Yeah, time to take a look at harness racing. There was some tip-top action last night, including the Group 2 Shepherd and Gold Cup. Mick Guerin, our harness expert, joins me now. Mick, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Simon. Big hi to all our New South Wales friends. I hope the day on the punt for the Magic Millions was good for you yesterday. On the harness racing front, Simon, it was a day where things could have been oh so different. There was a scare in the Hector JJ camp. He was $1.10 favourite for the Shepherd and Cup heading towards the Victoria Cup, and had blood tests taken on Friday. They thought the horse may not be able to start. There was some indication he might have a lung infection. They then cleared him yesterday morning at 11:30. Now, they had to get clearance from Harness Racing Victoria's integrity department to actually have the horse blood tested on the day of the race. You're legally not allowed to do that, of course. Can't put a needle into a horse on the day of the race. They got that clearance. They blood tested him yesterday morning. The vets said he's ready to go. And, Simon, what happened next confirmed the fact he was more than ready.
More than ready to go. Let's pick up a replay now of last night's Shepherd and Gold Cup.
And the neat line home, Shepherd and Gold Cup, the Group 2, 1:22 for the lead time. Leisurely going for the star Hector JJ. But he's opened up the first quarter in 28.5. You just can't tell. He does it so effortlessly. He's going along in second gear. He leads a metre, but All Black Stride has up to work him a little, the New South Wales visitor. McCarthy lets him go up and eyeball the favourite out of the straight. On the pegs is Qatari Roland. He's had a neat ride, just waiting on the Saddle World Shepherd and Sprint Lane. Tactate has made a few moves, but he's nicely poised fourth, waiting to use his finishing burst. Then the South Australian Adam Cartwright, Pepe Bromac, five-star Anvil around Smudge Bromac, and Major Star is the tail ender. Into the back straight, 29-4 through the second quarter. He's rolling along at a good clip, Hector JJ. He leads the favourite by a couple of metres. All Black Stride is right there with him second. Qatari Roland's ready for the sprint lane third. As they quicken up, Tactate still fourth. Five-star Anvil, he's commencing a three-deep move. He might be pushed four-deep, though, as they pass the 400. Pepe Bromac, Adam Cartwright, Smudge Bromac as working into open space, then Major Star. But Josh Aiken gave the local star, Hector JJ, a bit more rein, and he raced away. 27.5, he went down the back. He's 10-12 in front, trying hard. All Black Stride from a big lineup for third. But it's Hector JJ. He's racing away. He's an equine Ferrari, and he's he's down to win easily in the neat line home, Shepherd and Gold Cup. Beats All Black Stride, it was game.
So a pretty easy win there to Hector JJ, the favourite last night, Mick. But with that blood test that they conducted, is it fair to say that he wasn't 100% last night?
Look, he looked good, to be honest, Simon. He hadn't raced since running second to Smolder in the Inter-Dominion final on December the 9th. So in the home straight, in that last 100 metres, he was getting pretty tired, but he had every reason to be. He just got too much speed for these horses, Simon. You would think, had there been any indication that he actually had a lung infection, which is what they were concerned about, they wouldn't have started him. Because as you know yourself, Simon, if you've got something wrong with your lungs, you go for a hard run.
You're
terrible the next day. It just gets worse. So I think maybe it was a blip. Blood tests can be that way. The white cell, red cell blood counts can sometimes be out of whack, and then they can change very quickly, particularly this time of year when it gets really hot. So he's excellent. He's just very, very quick, and he's probably the fastest horse going around on the grand circuit. It's crucial he started last night. The win was relatively pointless because most of those horses aren't going to be factors in the big races heading forward. All Black Stride, the New South Wales pacer, was good, but he's not going to be, he'll be 50-1 in the Victoria Cup. The reason it's important is we have all the big guns getting together over the next couple of weeks, and 13 days from now it's Victoria Cup night, which is like the Cox Plate of harness racing. I think it sits alongside the Miracle Mile and the Inter-Dominion as the three most important races in harness racing. Now, Lazarus has come across from New Zealand. Lazarus won the New Zealand Cup by 10 lengths, and he's the favourite with tab.com.au for the Victoria Cup. You take Hector JJ out of it, Simon, and all of a sudden it gets to be a little bit blasé, and it's 2-1 horse dominated. Leave Hector JJ in the form he was in last night at Shep, and all of a sudden, Lazarus has a real rival. You have a Trans-Tasman perfectly set up race, because there's indications neither Smolder, the Inter Dominion champion, or Lenny the Shark, the defending Victoria Cup champion, are going to head that way. They both go to Ballarat this week, and then they could head to the Hunter Cup, which suits them better because obviously their trainers have the other two horses, Hector JJ for David Aiken and Lazarus for Mark Purden. So they might take a different route with Smolder and Lenny the Shark. All of a sudden, the Victoria Cup could have become very, very thin if Hector JJ wasn't in form. You put him at barrier 1, 2, or 3, Simon, and he'll go very, very close to starting favourite in the Victoria Cup over the Lazarus. Reverse the draws, and Hector JJ's to come from behind Lazarus, and again, the market would swap around again. So he's an important horse for Victoria. He will come to Sydney for the Miracle Mile, which is February the 25th. He can't win one of the big ones. He probably can't rough and tumble and win it to Simon, but he can win one of the big ones. The question's going to be all around the barrier draws. So he won't race next week at Ballarat. Lazarus, who's the key rival for the Victoria Cup, Mark Purden goes to Victoria tomorrow. We'll work him and then decide whether he goes Ballarat Cup or more likely a supporting race at Ballarat
of the Bonanza.
To open up his windpipes before the Victoria Cup.
Okay, was that the four-year-old Bonanza? I saw something on Twitter the other day.
The four-year-old Bonanza, this is what's happened. That's in Melbourne on February the 4th. Now, Lazarus, if he races in the Victoria Cup 2 weeks yesterday, needs to go to the four-year-old Bonanza to qualify for the Chariots of Fire, and he needs to race in the Chariots of Fire to qualify for the Miracle Mile. So that race on the 4th at Melton for Lazarus is a crucial race to get him qualified for the Sydney races ahead of that. He's going to have a 2, potentially 3 race campaign in Sydney. So he's probably the best horse in Australasia, but with what we've seen from Hector JJ, maybe there's a speed bonus there or a speed advantage to Hector JJ. So where they shake out in the next couple of weeks is going to be really crucial. You mentioned a very good point, Simon. A lot of trainers are thinking, do I go Melbourne? Do I go Sydney? Can I do both? Can you race in Melbourne and then float up to Sydney in the heat of summer and still get the best out of your horse? Not many horses have done it successfully over the last couple of years. Lenny the Shark ran second to the Miracle Mile last year after winning the Victoria Cup. Not many horses under the current or new format have won a Miracle Mile and the Victoria Cup in the same season. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it all pans out. The one thing I would say, Simon, is regardless of how good these horses are, no horse, I believe, is going to clean sweep all the features this year. The quality's too high and the barrier draws are too crucial. We saw that at the Inter Dominion. Hector JJ was $1.70 pre-draw, drew barrier 9, and of course he couldn't win the final because he was out-toughed by Smolder. So don't expect a dominant Winx-like champion in harness racing, even though Lazarus and Hector JJ both had that bang factor about them. When they meet each other, one of them is going to have the crown slip.
And Mick, did you feel that it was the distance of the Inter-Dominion that just told on Hector JJ there?
Simon, I'll be honest with you. I think he's a horse who doesn't like a dogfight. I think he's a horse who's very, very good when things go his way. And he's got incredibly high speed, and it's tactical speed. He skips around the bends. So like Josh Aiken did last night, they can let him loose, and he gets around the final bend so quickly, he puts a gap on other horses. But when you look him in the eye, I've yet to see any evidence that when looked in the eye, he has a lot of dog in him. And that was the case in the Inter Dominions. It's also been the case in a couple of other races. He was beaten the Breeders' Crown Free for All by All Eyes on Us, who's not a top horse. He was also beaten in the Blacks of Fake when he trailed a Hoka Punter under testing conditions. He's the faster horse. I don't think he's the strongest or, without being rude, the bravest horse. He'll win one of the big ones, but I'm stepping well back from calling him a champion yet. I think there's a little bit of hype around Hector JJ because he's a very fast, flat-track bully. People don't like hearing that stuff, Simon, but my job's to tell punters the truth. These futures markets are open, and the bottom line is, if people are going to be betting, they deserve to bet with the knowledge that in virtually every major race he's contested in the last year, with the exception of the Len Smith Mile, he's been beaten.
Yeah, okay. Well, so you mentioned Lazarus. So he arrived in Melbourne last Wednesday, and we will see him next weekend at Ballarat?
Look, Mark thinks so. He doesn't want to go. The reason he wants to race at Ballarat because he needs a blowout before he takes on Hector JJ in the Victoria Cup, but he doesn't want to gut him because potentially he could race 4 Saturdays in a row. So I think he's going to go to the Free for All, which is a more minor race at Ballarat, have a nice race at his own sort of tempo, probably win, and leave Smolder versus Lenny the Shark as the key attraction. Either way, Ballarat's going to have one hell of a night. That would lead him into the Victoria Cup with a huge winning streak. And Hector JJ in a similar boat with only that Inter Dominion defeat. It's going to be a great Victoria Cup. Victoria Cup if they go around in that capacity. Lazarus still $2, I think, or $2.20 now.
$2.20.
Hector JJ 3.3, I think, Simon.
Mm. And Lenny the Shark there at $5. Now, he would have had plenty of time to come over his hoof problem by now.
Yeah, look, I don't think they'll go that way. Lenny the Shark is part-owned by the same people who own Lazarus. So I think they're thinking, we'll go Ballarat Cup, fresh up, then miss the Victoria Cup and head to the Hunter Cup the week after. So don't be taking the $5 punters. First of all, it's unders. I think Lenny the Shark's lost an inch of speed, and I don't think they need him to be in the Victoria Cup. So I would think 50-50 at best he goes to the Victoria Cup. So if you're taking $5 on a 50-50 bet that he's even going to be there, effectively you want to be taking $10. So for me, no. Leave him out of the Victoria Cup. He can win the Hunter Cup, potentially. He's a $3.10 equal favourite for that. So it's kind of hard for punters to keep up, Simon, because there's so many pieces on the chessboard and there's so many different places they can go. That's why we're trying to give people all the indications. But at this stage, I'm thinking next week, Ballarat, Smolder versus Lenny the Shark in the Cup. Lazarus, two supporting race with Have Faith in Me. Week after, Victoria Cup, Lazarus versus Hector JJ. Week after that, Hunter Cup, again, replay of the Ballarat Cup. We're going to see Smolder versus Lenny the Shark with Have Faith in Me, potentially fitter, moving into that. Then we all move to Sydney.
And Mick, we saw Bling It On win last night at Tabcorp Park, Menangle. Is Bling It On any chance of flumming one of those majors?
Look, he's always a chance, Simon, because he's so fast. And those opportunist horses get your chance one race out of five. They sit off the speed, and if the good horses attack each other, he's a chance. On sheer ability and class, he's not as good as some of these. But on his home track, I don't think Melton suits him. I think Melton's too tight a track for him. It's not an easy track to swoop on. You put him three fence in a Miracle Mile, and Baby Bling won a Miracle Mile from there. Why couldn't he? So, yeah, he's a chance. I thought he was good last night. I think the New South Wales free-for-alls have been weak. For the reason, Simon, we haven't seen many of the best horses together. Like, it's very rare. We tend to have one week of, you know, last year it was Bowtide one week and then Bling It On one week and Suave Stewie Lombo the next week. And we haven't had a consistent basis of three or four good free-for-allers racing each other every week at Menangle. So I'm willing to not get carried away with that form, but he was good enough at the Inter Dominions and unlucky enough in the Inter Dominion final to suggest he can snag a good race somewhere. More than likely, though, I'm thinking he's a horse who can run second or third in a Victoria Cup, a Hunter Cup, or a Miracle Mile. So, look, he's a factor heading into these championship races. He'll be there. He's hardened. He can do the hard work and probably race in two or three of them where some of these others cannot. I'm talking about Menangle last night. We saw the return of two horses who have hardly had a defeat between them. Waikiki Beach was going for 24 out of 25, and Party On, the unbeaten filly, returned in the Wraith Memorial. Well, one of them did the job, Simon. The other one did not. The one who got things right was Party On. There was a lot of money for the local filly to beat her from the inside draw. The race changed complexion at the start when she was crossed. But fresh up, first start since August last year, Party On good enough in 151.3. This, Simon, could be a pretty special filly.
Takara Truffle in front, led the way by a length and a half as they work off the back straight. Now coming to second, outside of the leader was Sparkling Tachyon, there followed by Don't Think Twice, who's leaders back. Around the outside, Strawberry Stride runs on, then I'm with Lexi and Party On. It's about to pull to the outside, third quarter, 28-2, Takara Truffle. She's full bore into the home straight. Don't Think Twice, the driver, he drives very confidently. He had a look around his right shoulder to see where Party On was, and Party On starting to drop on them out wide. Don't Think Twice, collared by Party On. Party On and Don't Think Twice. Party On. Party On beat Don't Think Twice. I'm with Lexi Rand third.
Yeah, pretty special filly there, as you mentioned, Mick, and the odds I thought were pretty generous, $2.50.
Yeah, there was a real push for Don't Think Twice, and she's a very good filly. Jason Brimson couldn't do any more than he did. He drove her perfectly once she got crossed at the start. He looked after her, but long story short, Party On might simply be better That was her first start for a long time, 153.1, as we said. I saw 151.3, my apologies. You got out to $2.60. It's a very indicative thing for harness racing, Simon. You do see a lot bigger drifts than you do in the gallops, because people talk themselves into this will lead, this will do this, and then it seems to be all the coverage is based around who will lead and who will do what. Doesn't always work out that way, especially at Menangle. The good horses at Menangle can overcome bad draws more often than not. So she's the class filly, clearly, on what we saw there, raging favourite for the New South Wales Oaks. A lot of these horses are converging on Sydney now with the view to February 25th, which has the Miracle Mile, the Ladyship Mile, the New South Wales Oaks, and the New South Wales Derby. So she's the first one of the good age group horses to arrive. She'll just get better and better. It'll take a very special filly to beat her in the Oaks. Her stablemate, our Waikiki Beach, returned to the track he's done most of his racing on. He's a wonderful horse, but last night he looked a bit flat. He was off barrier 9, over 2,300 metres in the E1, went back at the start mark, Purden had no choice but to do that, didn't move until about the 1,000 metre mark, and when he came, he sort of meandered around the thing, started getting on a knee on the home bend. Bottom line is, he only ran third, only the second time in his career in 25 starts he's been beaten. And Simon, $1.20, the punters took a real blood nose out of this. Typical example of the best horse in the field with a bad draw and, to be honest, probably not having any race fitness. Easy to say now, he was a false favourite at $1.20, but yeah, maybe a little lesson for punters there. No matter how good they are, it's pretty hard to overcome those sort of draws when you're fresh up. So he'll improve a stack, Waikiki Beach, but he's going to need to, because his main aim is the Chariots of Fire. He competes against the in-form Salty Robin in the preludes of that, and of course may well be up against Lazarus in the actual final. Chariots of Fire final is on February the 11th.
It's a monster month ahead, isn't it? Not only with the Victoria and the Hunter Cup, but for Tabcorp Park and Menangle as well. It's the biggest time of the year.
Well, Simon, there's six major race meetings, six Saturday nights. So with no footy on at the moment, no NRL, no AFL, it's a great time to get involved. And I know people will be watching the tennis and that sort of thing, but it's a time in harness racing without any major gallops meetings on. And there's good horses coming back, we know that, but there's nothing major coming up till maybe the Blue Diamond and the return of Winx, of course. You've got six Saturdays in a row which go like this: Ballarat, Melton, Menangle. And there's going to be great harness racing on there. So if people think to themselves, look, I'm not a harness racing person, I love the galloping carnivals, this is a chance to see some pretty darn good horses on a Saturday night and try and get to one of the meetings, because you know you have plenty of options. So as I said, the next 6 weeks will be pivotal. Some horse is going to come out of it horse of the year and a champion. A couple of reputations are going to be dented. One thing for sure, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to try and keep you updated here on the radio week in, week out, whether it's Andrew Bensley, myself, or Greg Hayes. There's plenty of people who want to tell you all about these harness horses. If you need more information, go to harness.org.au to get those dates if you do feel like maybe popping out one night and getting to the trots.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to our Lazarus lining up, that's for sure. We should touch on Josh Aiken as well. Four winners last night at Shepparton, including the feature race.
Yeah, and we're seeing this move, Simon, towards these young drivers who drive more in the American style. And don't get me wrong, Gavin Lang and obviously Chris Alford are, you know, the absolute top dogs. They are two of only three drivers who have over 5,000 winners. But the young drivers drive differently these days. And you see them all over Australasia. Greg Sugars, obviously Josh is one of them. They drive on tight lines. They get the horses up on the nickel and they drive tight lines, which means they sit a little bit further back in the sulky and the reins tighten a bit more in the horse's mouth, which is how they race in America. In America, the horses don't get off the bit. They keep them up on the steel. These younger drivers are doing this in all over Australasia. And it seems to be the new way of driving. It's not the old way of Gavin being kind to them and kidding to them and that sort of stuff. It's get them up, get them running, and you try and chase me down. Josh Aiken's at the forefront of that. He's an outstanding young driver, smart young man. He's got a good partner alongside him. He knows about the horses too, and Monty Ryder, Kimmer Frenning. So they're going to be a power couple in harness racing for a long time. His father, David's an outstanding trainer. Josh Aiken's a name for the future of harness racing and drove four last night at Ballarat. Could well be, in a month and a half's time, either a Victoria Cup or Miracle Mile winning driver.
Righto, Mick, is there anything else on the news front before we wrap it up?
Well, Simon, it's all a matter of where they go next. So all that information, it can change very quickly because a lot of these trainers have the same horses coming backwards and forwards. But as I said, I think it's pretty much, if you want to keep on top of it all, harness.org.au or, of course, our Twitter account. I follow Andrew Bensley on Twitter or people like myself or obviously the radio account for Twitter. All those information, Tuesday morning, all the fields will be coming out. So Tuesday mornings, you'll have a good indication around lunchtime of where the good horses go next. But yes, we're expecting to see Ballarat next week be the next stop for all the glamour horses on the road to what eventually becomes the race of the season. And it will be the race of the season, the Miracle Mile at Menangle on February 25th.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks very much for your input on Pacing Rewind this morning, Mick. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk again over the coming weeks, I'm sure.
Simon, it's always a pleasure. And good punting to all the listeners out there.
Thank you very much. Here he is, Mick Guerin. It's 10 to 11. Shortly, Stuart Turner to take a look at greyhound racing.
Sky Sports Radio brings you the very best in New South Wales racing.
And this Monday is Maruya Cup Day.
Marquee in front from Segmund and Nat King Koo. Marquee won the cup.
It's a country showcase meeting with $270,000 in prize money. There's $40,000 riding on the cup and $35,000 on the town plate. Catch Racing HQ this Monday at 10 for the previews.
Then stay with the National Racing Service for all the action.
This Monday, Maruya Cup Day on Sky Sports Radio.
25 Group 1 winners in Australia last season.
New Zealand continues to offer the cream of the crop.
Don't miss the NZB Karaka Sale Preview with Caroline Searcy. Brought to you by NZB Air Freight. This Tuesday on Sky Thoroughbred Central.
For a best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. The 2016 plate clearance is on now at Penrith Mazda Centre. Hurry in for special offers like Mazda 3 with free rego, free CTP and free stamp duty. Our Mazda Youth Centre has great offers on VT50s with over 30 on display. Penrith Mazda Centre, family owned and operated and with over 300 new Mazdas in stock. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio.
Your racing and sports leader.
A tremendous evening of greyhound racing from Wentworth Park last night with the heats on the Paws of Thunder and a couple of the summer distance plate heats as well. Stuart Turner from Greyhound Racing New South Wales, good morning.
Morning, Simon. How are you going today?
Very well, thanks, Stuart. Yeah, terrific racing at Wendy last night.
Certainly was. It was great to be trackside at Wenty last night for the big race in there. And look, with only the heat winners getting through in the Paws of Thunder, there were some incredibly tough races taking place. A few surprises as well, Simon. Some of the highly fancied Victorians not getting through. But one greyhound who certainly did the business last night was Brad Hill Billy, the New South Wales star. I think he produced arguably the run of the night to win his heat in tremendous fashion. 87 starts and he's still going strong. What a win for Brad Hill Billy.
Racing, Wicked Warrior began moderately and there's jamming over near to the rails. Takedown fired out and is going to get across the lead. Takedown by Tudor Kaya's Comet. Going to second. They'll followed up by Cosmic or Brad Hill Billy. He's coming to the race big time. They'll followed up by Helga Bale, Wicked Warrior. Then Lochinvar Dash and Goodwin Terry at the rear. Takedown the pilot. But here comes Brad Hill Billy. He's charging up on the rails and went on by. Brad Hill Billy shot away from Takedown and Brad Hill Billy's coming away. Does it by three to take down.
So Brad Hill Billy there from a come from behind win. And what was the time he clocked?
Well, he broke the 30-second barrier, Simon. I think he got 29.94, so the fastest heat win there. And look, an incredible victory to come from last to first in that field. What an effort. And I think, look, this Saturday night is going to be his ninth group final, Simon. What a fantastic effort. And it was actually his fourth birthday yesterday as well. So what a career he's had. He's drawn box five for the Paws of Thunder. Now, on paper, that is tough. But, look, he's such a strong greyhound, you won't put it past him to get the win.
Now, from that race last night, Wicked Warrior jumped the favourite. Was Jason Magri a little disappointed with Wicked Warrior?
Well, I think so, but look, I don't think you can take much past Brad Hill Billy to come from behind in that field. Just an incredible effort and just well done to him. And look, a couple of the other New South Wales greyhounds who got wins too in the heats last night, Simon. Luana's Son, who ran incredibly well in the first heat, And Magic Lace, who was a $32 shot, who defeated one of the hardest fields in her heat with an absolutely super run. I know her trainer, Doreen Drynan, was on cloud nine afterwards. And look, you can't blame her for that. A great win for Magic Lace in her heat.
Now, one of the new kids on the block just didn't disappoint last night. Falcons Fury winning his heat for Paul Braddon, clocking 29.95.
Yeah, that's right. Now, 10 wins and 3 minor placings from 14 starts for Falcons Fury. G. Simon, he really looks like he's going to be something special, this greyhound. He broke 30 seconds again on what's a pretty slow Wentworth Park track at the moment. I think he's got to be the one to be on in the final.
Let's take a listen to Falcons Fury, Pulse of Thunder heat win from last night.
Set and ready. Racing. And the favourite, Falcon Fury, poorly away. He's beginning to burn now. Runway Idol flew out, went to the lead, but now Falcon Fury got mobile in a hurry and raced up on the inside and rushed to the lead. Chase is going to third. They were followed up by T Tanga, Dinah Burma. They're followed up by Berrydale Boy, Princess Sophia, Camden Gossip back at the rear. Falcon Fury dashed away. Chase is going to second, but the boom puppy, Falcon Fury, will maintain his unbeaten record here. Falcon Fury by 5 to chase a toss up third.
Okay, so Falcons Fury winning pretty comfortably there. And looking at the final market for next Saturday night, Falcons Fury's come up with box 7 and is at 260. Strike a Light out of box 2 is 380. Shimmer Bar's drawn box 1, Stuart, $5. And Brad Hill Billy has come up with box 5 and is a $6 chance with the tab fixed odds.
Yeah, look, I think it's one of those finals where every trainer will be thinking, look, they've got a sniff of a chance in this one. Shimmer Bar, as you mentioned there, got box 1. He's got a super record from the inside. But, look, I tip Falcons Fury on the Talking Greyhounds podcast this week, and I've got to stick with him after that run. I don't think the box draw matters too much with him. If he comes out okay, he's on full fitness and form. I think he's just too good. He's a potential superstar. I don't think the draw is a concern. I think the best roughie for me, Simon, in this one is Clocks Ticking in box 6. He ran 29.87 on his last start from box 6 at Wentworth Park. I think his trainer, Jason Magrew, will win a big group race or two this year. But for me, Falcons Fury is the one to be on in the Paws of Thunder on Saturday night.
Now, we also had a couple of heats for the summer distance plate on last night. Boom One Down was in the first one as a very short-priced favourite, but only managed to run third, I noticed.
He did. He was rather let down by a slow start last night, Boom One Down. He jumped absolutely terribly. It was Runway Bono who led them all the way round to win that heat with a great run. But Boom One Down did finish strongly to finish third and qualify. That was his first look at Wentworth Park, so I'm sure he'll be stronger for that run on Saturday night in the final. It's the Fling winning an absolutely terrific second heat. There was only 2 lengths separating the top 4 in that one. So looking at the final, well, Burn One Down in box 7 still got to be the one to be on, I think, Simon. But keep an eye on Ebby Ripper, who's got box 8. She absolutely charged home in her heat. If she jumps a bit better on Saturday night, I think she's going to be pretty tough to beat in the final.
Rightio, well, looking at the fixed odds market, Burn One Down's $1.80. Ebby Ripper there from box 8 at $4.80. And the other one at $4.80 is Runway Bono, who's come up with box 4. The other two in single figures, It's a Fling from box 6 at $8. And Lovelace, who placed last night at $8.50, which has come up with box 5. So they're still keeping Burn One Down pretty short there, aren't they?
Well, I don't think you can argue with that. I mean, Burn One Down's just got an incredible record, been running some fantastic times down in Victoria for Jason Thompson. And as I said, I think he'll be a lot stronger for having a first look at the track last night. But do keep an eye on Ebby Ripper. She's pretty handy from out wide. She can be let down sometimes by her slow starts, but, gee, she absolutely motored home last night, Simon. If she gets out okay in the final, I think she can run Burn One Down pretty close.
Now, this Tuesday, Stewie, we've got the Group 3 Devonport Cup on, where local star Chief Jet Pilot lines up.
Yeah, that's right. Before the big night at Wentworth Park on Saturday, we've got that Group 3 Devonport Cup on Tuesday afternoon. Looks a terrific final. Pantera Nera, the brilliant Victorian, was the fastest heat qualifier. He's drawn box 5 in the final, but he's got a decent record from the squeeze box, Simon. But look, as you mentioned there, Chief Jet Pilot, the local, got box 2. And look, I think I've got to go with him in this final. He was an absolutely storming winner in the heat. He loves an inside draw, and he's banging form at the moment. Won 3 of his last 4 starts. For me, Chief Jet Pilot, the one to be on from box 2 in the Group 3 Devonport Cup.
And what's happening around the state over the next 7 days, Stu?
Yeah, we've got another great week coming up locally this week. We've got the Twilight meeting at Canberra today, and then tomorrow it's Nowra, Bathurst and Grafton. Tuesday they jump at Gosford and Lismore. Wednesday it's back to Richmond and Wentworth Park. Thursday racing at Maitland and Dapto. Friday it's back to the Gardens, Richmond and Dubbo. And then Saturday